Tuesday, February 13th is the school investment election. The plan provides local students and the Canute community with a renovated gymnasium, including new flooring, new stands, new scoreboard, updated restrooms, accessibility improvements, and more. The plan also includes upgrades to the school's science lab to promote more hands-on learning and experiments. Polls will be open from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. Please take time to vote on this important election, because your voice and your vote matter.
Throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We can talk about all kinds of stuff today, Jared. We can talk Big 12 football schedule released at the end of the show yesterday. We can talk college hoops. What in the world? What in the world happened in Manhattan? That was a shocking result. Not necessarily that OU won, but the way in which they won. Because that hasn't been a place where they've had very much success.
No, I already kind of wrote it off as a loss because you're right. The Octagon of Doom.
The Octagon of Doom.
Been just that for the Sooners. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Obviously not.
And it's a Big 12 road game. I mean, almost anywhere you go in the Big 12, it's lost. Going to be hard to win.
So that happened. The Pokes got disappeared in the fog, which I think we all saw that coming as a 16-point underdog. Rough night for top five teams in and around college hoops, as a couple of those lost. Let me look at some bracketology if you want. Some NFL stuff. Are you surprised that Bill Belichick didn't have or doesn't seem to have a landing spot? I actually heard a pretty interesting conversation about this headed home from Chickasha last night that makes a lot of sense as to why he wouldn't. Another thing that has got people baffled a little bit in this coaching search is Dan Snyder being replaced as the owner of the Washington football team, or the Commanders. It hasn't had the desired effect yet. Ben Johnson turned them down. A lot of people thought that was a lock, that the offense coordinator for Detroit was going to be the next Commanders head coach. That is not going to be the case. Matter of fact, they found out midair that he wasn't even going to meet with them as he was staying. They still were going to talk to Aaron Glenn. But that's an interesting situation because a lot of people thought that with Snyder out, new owners in, this would be kind of a kumbaya thing. Let's go back to Washington and recreate Joe Gibbs's success. It doesn't necessarily seem like that. And I don't know why, because there's a lot going for that franchise, it would seem like. As far as what the draft is, the cap space, it does look. What I'm saying is the Snyder smell still on that?
Yeah, job? I mean, that dumpster fire is still on fire. Maybe. They're still trying to put it out.
Yeah, but that's the whole point of doing it, right?
Maybe there's a lot of grease in that fire. They have some trouble putting it out.
Also, NFL on ESPN, they had a list of the 57 Super Bowl winners from best to worst. I didn't even look at it yet.
I have a list for everything nowadays.
Yeah, no, this is a good one, though.
Okay.
Because we can talk the Super Bowl without having to water down the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like around the Super Bowl.
Like, I don't want to over-talk the Super Bowl to the point I'm sick of the Super Bowl.
That's correct. But this is the cool thing about this. We're not even talking about the game.
Yeah, that's true. It's the history of the game.
It's
kind of a fun thing to
that's
do.
Right. So yeah. I asked this question. Who are your top five teams to win a Super Bowl?
Oh, man, I'd have to go and look at the list.
Well, that's why I sent you this early.
I didn't get anything, by the way.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, man, are we back to Paul at KECO? What happened?
I don't know.
Darn it. Okay, so that's what I had in mind. Also, high school hoops last night. We'll tell you what happened around the area. And the prize pack has been announced for the Tucker Family Beef 8 for State contest. And what a prize pack it is. And guess what? We're going to have two winners this time, not just one.
Well, I thought three.
Well, there could be a third if that person wants to pick that up. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. If you got something else on your mind, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app's got it all. Radio, Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com. Our fearless leader will be headed to get the print edition of the Penny News today. You can go pick up a free copy of the Penny News. Some places tonight, other places by tomorrow. Big Elk and Paragon TV winding down the high school basketball season. It's amazing. Playoffs start next week. Wow.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe. And then, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast available anywhere podcast drops. How are you today, Jared?
Very well. Very well. How are you?
I am I'm wonderful.
How's Chickasha?
Chickasha is so much better than last time I went there. You should have zero help.
Zero help.
Or a zero problem, I mean. Need zero help when it comes to internet. I mean smoking fast. Wi-Fi available at Chickasha. Zero problems.
Oh,
and
yeah.
First time I've been there where it wasn't constant.
Good.
Checking red, yellow, red, yellow, red, yellow. Now, I do have the luxury that you probably don't when it comes to the setup there. And that luxury is, you know, on the top, do they pull those seats out?
They did when I was
for the
there.
Areas. Yeah, see, they don't do that for the regular season games, which means I can set a table up behind the chairs and be right next to the camera. Mm-hmm. And have that kind of top view without having to be on the floor and use extra equipment, i.e. the wireless stuff.
Right.
But when they pull those bleachers out, there's probably not room to set a table and then walk behind you.
I seem to remember sitting actually on the front row of the bleachers.
Okay. That could probably happen.
But my issue was power. I had to run.
Well, it's right there. It's underneath those seats.
But that's either run it on that walkway and tape it down.
Everything. Yeah.
But that way, cause no offense, Chick-fil-A, but nobody was using those bleachers. There's still plenty of room in the regular seats.
Yeah.
So, in that way, people could walk in front of me and not obstruct my view because I was high enough, and there was nobody behind me. It was just kind of my area. And there's room for a table and thing and stuff like that. So that's what I did. Yeah, but I've sat on courtside before with the wireless. In fact, I sat on courtside and I had the camera kid on the front row behind me, and it seemed like it was elevated enough.
Yeah, there's some elevation there.
I might go back and pull the tape on that and show you that. That might be an option for you. But
I don't. No. I don't want another option. My option's great.
You like your option.
Absolutely. Okay. Right. But I'm just saying because those bleachers aren't pulled out. If those bleachers were pulled out, then it would be a problem. But no. What I'm able to do, so I'm saying it's a tough break for you because the setup is so easy. Right behind those, you know, regular chairs.
Yeah.
I'm butted right up against that with the table. Everybody can walk behind me easily. And then, once again, the elevatedness of the camera. People can walk to their seats and not have to duck down because it's going shooting over the top of them. Mm-hmm. Now, they don't realize that, so they duck down anyways, but it's not necessary because we're able to get most, especially on the end closest to the camera, the stands aren't even in the shot. Now, when you go to the other end, there's a little bit down at the bottom, but and the internet was awesome. No problems whatsoever, and golly, is this the first time? Nope, Clinton, last Tuesday. So the last two Tuesdays, the Brown and White have been able to earn sweeps of their opponent. The Elkettes played good in spurts and didn't play very good in other spurts. You can give Chickasha some credit for those bad spurts. But They were good enough to win 46-41. That's now five out of the last seven, only four behind, four under 500 after, what, 1-7 start before Christmas, which led to 1-8 after the first game coming out of the break against Anadarko. So really a really good work here down the stretch of the regular season by the Elkheads. Abby Brown continues to play great. She had 18. Ellis Attili scored 9 points, and also Campbell Garbarino with 8. So the Elkheads hang on and defeat Chickasha 46-41. Then on the Big Elk side, what a weird game. So the first half, Cole Bowie had 13 of the 21 Elk City points. Chickasha only scored 17. And it's like, man, first of 40, going to win this puppy? And then in the second half, Damon Jackson had 17 second-half points. Alex Cupp had 12 second-half points. The Elks put up 28 in the third quarter, which has to be a season high for the quarter, 42 for the half. So, I mean, I was thinking 42 might win the game, and they fire out 42 second-half points to pull away and beat a young Chickasha team 63-42. So, those Tuesday, the last two Tuesdays, the second half for the Elks, once at Clinton and then this week at Chickasha, played some of the best basketball. And that's, you know, you go back to Friday against Bethany, a team that ended up in the top eight of the locked-in standings in 4A on the boys' side. The Elks have really, really played well. Bowie scored the points in the first half, was a willing distributor in the second half. It was like the very first possession. Damon got to just above the free throw line, pulled up, knocked down a shot, and it was like hitting being contagious in baseball.
Yeah.
He made a shot. You know, Alex had struggled from behind the arc in the first half. He drives it, makes a tough layup from left of the paint, kind of banks it in. And it was like both of those guys, those two shots go in, and then it was whammo. Alex made three or four threes in the second half. Damon had a couple. But, man, it was just an offensive barrage that we really haven't seen very much from the Elks. So, kudos Coach Stevens and his guys for playing a really, really solid game again. And, you know, they've kind of – even the first half against Clinton, the very end didn't go great when Redshin knocked down those two threes to give them the lead. And then the second half domination. Since then, man, they've strung together, that's now looking at like 10 straight quarters of pretty good basketball. So the Elks and the Elkheads both win. Newcastle comes here Friday, final regular season home games, senior night, before finishing with three on the road. I think that's an interesting way that the schedule sets up because, these last four out of five are road trips, some of them long road trips. You know, Chickasha's a haul, Kingfisher's not very close, and Duncan's obviously a long ways away. Maybe this kind of gets them into playoff mode as far as the travel goes, getting used to being on the bus and all the things that entails. So a good night for Elk City basketball for sure. What else happened around the area?
Big games over in Hammond. Canute and Hammond going at it. Trojanettes and Lady Warriors. Man, nothing worked for Canute early. Hammond came out roaring to a 15-3 lead after the first quarter, never looked back. Eventually won it 66-33. Canute had their opportunities, but by when they finally started to find that rhythm, it was just too late. And my key to that game was, obviously, when you play Hammond, you key in on Henley West. If you cannot, you can't stop her, let's face it. Very few, if any, have. But you can contain her, and if you can contain her, maybe slow her down, keep her below her season average, which is around 17.5 points per game, you're going to have a shot because you're going to force everyone else to. Kind of like Fort Cobb Boys with Cray Rogers. If you can contain him and make everyone else around him beat you, hats off. So, and it actually kind of went that way in the first quarter, held West to just 4 first quarter points, but it was Shannon Ayers, a senior, who had 11, and she would finish with 18, but West would get her. She actually finished with 26. She was just unguardable, hard to block out. Everything we know about her was a beast down low, and for good reason. She's one of the best players in Class B. So, and again, Canute, it just, the shots weren't falling. It was abysmal from the field. I won't even go over that stat. And it just wasn't their night. You can just see it. And when, kind of like a snowball effect. But I'm not saying that trying to take any way anything away from Hammond. They are one of the top they are the defending Class B state champs for a reason. They are one of the top teams in Class B for a reason. But you want to play those games. I said this last night, you know, you have those early tough matchups in the year to find out what, you know, what kind of team you can be. This is a game late in the year to find out what kind of team can you be in the playoffs. You know, what can this springboard you? Can you use this as momentum? So for me as a Canute fan, I just hope this isn't a game that or a loss that beats you twice because the outcome is so lopsided. But I don't believe it will. They got a very winnable games to wrap up this season. They host district. They're well coached. They'll be fine. Hammond is going to go far. I think we knew that going in. There were some questions with some losses that they had. But looking back at it in hindsight, those are good losses. You lose a couple times to a Merritt team that's top three in Class 2A. La Mega, we know about them. Sealing, we know about them. And then there's that one loss at the very, very beginning of the year to Sentinel. And we all know why. Henley West wasn't there. So this is a good team. Coach Conley has a good team over in Hammond. And Coach Rayling will get her girls to bounce back. Four girls highlighted by Destiny Jackson. It was her first game back after a three-game absence with that injury. And another question for me was, is she going to come back firing all cylinders, or is it going to take a little bit to get going? Maybe you kind of wish it wasn't the opponent wasn't Hammond. You know, maybe it was somebody else to allow her to get reacclimated to get back. She did finish with a team-high 14 points, but she only had two first-half points. So by the time those other points came, it was what it was. Emily Cantwell, the senior, played, in my opinion, great. She was my player of the game because she never stopped hustling. She was, pretty much all the offense in the first half. Had led the team in steals. I mean, just playing like a senior leader you would expect to play. But, again, Canute will bounce back. They'll be fine. Hammond's a really good team. If they're not there on Friday, if not Saturday, that might be a disappointment. We knew what we were going to get with West. I was impressed with Ayers, right? Because without the big question going in for Hammond was who's going to replace some of those guards that they lost off that championship team. She was very good in the right spot, hustled. I can't say enough.
Of West's ability. Even last year's team, those if you weren't paying attention, Maylee Chaney, especially, but you know there was others, Espinosa, Binkley. I mean, they hit shots, they made the right basketball plays, and it just maybe Hammond is coming into their own toward the end because you've got some players that are playing new roles and having in increased roles around her because of what was lost off of that state championship winning team last year and the quality. And that, you know, we said it the whole time, like, you know, from 2 years ago, losing in the semifinals to the who was going to be the champion, as it turned out, Pittsburgh, that night nobody could make shots right around her. You had wide open looks and you couldn't make them, whereas then last year, once they got rolling in the playoffs, everyone made them. You know, thinking back to every game they played in the Big House, when they needed shots, it wasn't just her. It was Chaney making play. I mean, to me, she was the most valuable player on that team because she did take that pressure off of West as much as you could possibly do it with the focus and the attention that the other team puts on. And so maybe this Hammond team is kind of figuring those roles out a little bit. I was shocked when I saw that's the halftime score. Not that Hammond was winning, just with the spread, and then I thought to myself, well, you know what? Maybe this is the team we thought they might be all year. It's just taking a little bit longer for people to get comfortable.
And it makes you wonder if there wasn't a coaching change. There's that too. You bring in a new coach.
That's true.
I don't know styles and systems that Conley brought in, as opposed to what Beer had there. But you know, is there even that they had to get used to? Because there are some games there on you look at the schedule, and, man, there's some closer games than expected and whatever. But
well, and even him trying to learn the girls,
players
too.
And learn what works best for them, what puts them in the best position, all that stuff. I mean, it's easy to come in and go, yeah, I got Henley West, I'm going to be all right. But there's those others, and, okay, well, how do I make other players better around her? So, and they could be peaking at the right time, and finally everybody's clicking on the same page. They're a good team. the boys, Canute Trojans, got the win 59-44. I call it an impressive win with the way the Hammond boys have come on under first-year head coach Larry Johnston. They play really Hammond plays really good defense, and Canute was able to shoot over that. You got Jackson Beck with 24. He had 6 3-pointers, 3 of them in the fourth quarter. I mean, kind of kept that as a 10-point lead throughout the entirety, most of the fourth quarter. And every time Hammond threw a punch, he was right there hitting a three. Jake Butler had 15. His shot was falling from outside, too. Had 3 3-pointers, 16 points from Keaton Winery. When you got three guys scoring double digits, it's that's good. And then, you know, you got – you know, Butler averages 12, Winery averages 11, Beck averages 17. Those are the three guys that average over 10 points per game. And so when they hit their average and exceed it, it's a recipe for success. So they played well. Trip Higgins, he's a guy. He's just a freshman. And, you know, we talked about him. He caught our eye just hitting those shots in the big house, and it was no problem. He hit – just 2 3-pointers, but one of them, he was so wide open, and you saw Canute's coach, Steffish, just put his hands up on his head, like, what are you doing leaving? And he hit it, you know? So, and it was fun watching him versus Jackson Beck. They were on each other most of the night. They both kind of have the same stature and the same game. And that was fun, you know, guard versus guard right there. But Jackson, the junior, he just, you know, you get that flow, you get that feeling, and he had it. And Canute's defense was able to stymie Hammond's offense in the second half and pull away to win it 59-44 for their 17th win of the year. So it's a good win for Canute. You know, those boys, after going through that rough patch of those top-ranked teams, getting the much-needed rebound win at Cordell on Thursday, and then just ramp up the competition a little bit with him. Those Hammond boys are coming. I mean, they got some youth on that team. Coach Johnston shuffles them in, and there's a lot of commitment to that program. It's not going to be long before they're back to where they want to be. And now Canute back at home, both boys and girls, Friday night, senior night, Burns Flat, Dill City on the road, Corn Bible Academy next Tuesday, and then boom, playoffs. So they got a chance with those two teams I mentioned to get on a little bit of a roll, host district, and then kind of hit the reset button, especially for those girls. Again, I think they're going to be okay. That was a whopping that they took against Hammond. That's no shame losing to a team like that, and sometimes it's just not your night. Final note, I want to give a shout-out to both Hammond schools and Canute schools. They came together and did a memorial for they sold T-shirts to raise money for the family of Alice Walker, the fourth grader who lost her life to cancer, pediatric cancer. And the family was there between games. They spoke to the crowd. It was very emotional. Kind of made you realize it's just a game.
Right.
It's just a game. They also mentioned Ryan Miner, you know, just the importance of getting screened and getting checked out, especially with, you know, when we're our age, you know. Yeah. It kind of eye-opener. So it was very good. And it was kind of cool because you couldn't tell whose fans were rooting for whose because everyone's wearing the same shirt.
Right.
And it was neat. It was really, really cool to see.
Yeah, I think that did they do that before when – with the land thing? Is that what happened?
Well, they've done – I've noticed when Canute and Hammond play, especially at Hammond
– I saw an old Facebook picture. The only reason I asked, and I couldn't remember. It may have been even before that.
It was before
happened.
That. They'll do like a breast cancer awareness, and they'll sell a shirt and raise money. And Canute and Hammond schools will come together and do that almost annually now. And it's really cool. And you know, because – it takes a really cool opportunity. You know, you're there playing basketball, and it makes – let's make it something good out of this and raise some money for a good cause. In this case, they changed it because of the young lady who lost her life. And it was an emotional scene, you know, and we had most of it on Paragon. And, you know, after losing the way the girls did and then seeing that, like, just a game. It's just a game. You know, there's bigger things. And Hammond and Canute have done that for years, and then they focused it right there, and it was a good job. Good job by both communities there.
Very cool, very cool. All right, other scores around the area last night on the Paragon side of things. The Hollis Lady Tigers got a win over Burns Flat Dill City, 35-27. Cheyenne Raiden blew out Corn Bible Academy, 65-20. Eric did the same thing to Blair, 49-12. And then Arapahoe Butler clipped Henton, 57-52. Leedy won at Moreland, 50-35. Boys' final scores from those same games. Let's see here. Hollis beat Burns Flatdale City 53-44. Eric clipped Blair 35-30. Cheyenne Raiden bombed Corn Bible Academy 79-39. You mentioned the Canute beat Hammond. Repo Butler knocked off Hinton 53-33. And then maybe the surprise of the night, Moreland knocking off Leedy 63-47.
Maybe not. The margin of victory was kind of a surprise for me. I don't know.
And here's the deal.
I've seen a very small sample size of Moreland. That one time I went up there, and I look at the football school side of things.
And you have no idea who played.
Yeah, we don't know. That's a totally different team. Could be from December to now.
Well,
early December,
you know.
And then Leedy too. Yeah, you don't know what happened there. But that was a little head scratching.
Yeah, let's see here. That was 12-9. Moreland, 12-9. Anyway,
sometimes it's like I said earlier.
Sometimes
it's
your night.
Just not your night.
That's true.
Sometimes just nothing falls for you. Nothing's working.
Sometimes it's true.
I mean, it felt like I probably overreact to it when I see it, but
Oh, there you go. Puffenberger didn't play.
Well, that's a big reason why.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why you never, since we don't get to sit down and watch these games, you kind of, when you see a score like that, you think, huh, wonder what happened.
Well, there you go.
Appreciate that on the text line. That hurts. That completely changes what Leedy does.
Yeah.
Makes sense now. See, there you go. Actually, now you go, huh, okay.
Well, okay.
The Tucker family beef.
Now that just raises so many questions. I mean,
well, just maintenance,
hope
maybe.
Hope he's okay.
Yeah, just give him a little break here before the 270 conference tournament.
Yeah.
They have that. That's this weekend, right?
I think so.
Before the playoffs.
Yeah, they'd have to be.
Which I'm sure that they're in the title game of that.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, hope it's nothing major. That's what I'm saying. We don't want to see that. Yeah.
Let him have a rest. All right. Tucker family beef, 8 for state. So here's how this works. You text us in on the show. I've got multiple Facebook posts about this all strung throughout Facebook on my page, the Big Elk TV page, Skinny on Sports page, the Paragon TV page. Give us your 8 for state in Class A and B, boys and girls. That's how you start out. So you'll pick 32 state tournament teams between those 4 classifications. From there, once we get to the state tournament, the brackets will be released, and then you'll fill out the bracket all the way through for each of them, for all 4. Point for winning the first, by point for getting the first game right, 2 for the semifinals, 3 for picking the champion in the bracket correctly. And then we'll tally up all the points, and the winner will get an awesome prize package once again. From Tucker Family Beef. Today's picture I posted was that giant pile of awesome prime beef from Tucker Family Beef that Coach Ham won last year with Ella alongside as well. You could see the smiles on their faces and the looks in their eyes of delicious food coming their way. This year, the prize pack is 4 prime Tucker Family Beef ribeyes. We have both indulged in a Tucker Family Beef ribeye, and I can't possibly... I don't have the words to tell you how delicious it really is. 4 fillets, 8 hamburger patties, and 20 beef sticks. The new beef sticks that have been around just a little bit. So that is the prize pack for the winner. Second place, there's a second place prize, and you can get 20 beef sticks, snack sticks, from Tucker Family Beef for the runner-up. Dead last gets a huge dog bone. We appreciate Monty.
Someone's puppy's going to be happy.
Yeah. We appreciate Monty, Tucker Family Beef. So that's how you get into this contest. You can text us what your state tournament teams are for Class A and B, boys and girls. You can post it in the comments underneath any of those Facebook posts. That's how you do it. We'll keep track of it. We'll have a leaderboard going like we did last year, probably on the Paragon TV page. I think that's where we put that last year. Was that way you could check and see how you were doing against everybody else. tally everything up. Once we get to the state tournament, you'll kind of know where you stand going in to the state tournament week. So if you're a little bit behind and you want to try to pick an upset or two to catch up, you can do it that way. Or if you're ahead, you can try to think in your mind what everybody you'll pick. That way it doesn't matter who wins. You can't get caught. Is the way that goes. Yes, that starts next week. Have you seen brackets yet?
No.
Is that coming?
Is that not Friday?
Friday? There's not a... Used to it said I didn't see that.
Well, I haven't even checked. I just assume because last Friday was the pairings, this Friday would be the brackets.
We've been saying Thursday is when you have to get these in. But once we see the brackets, if there aren't games Thursday, which there might, it just depends on referee and that kind of thing. They might go Thursday, Friday, and Friday, Saturday, and other ones. It will just have to see. But once we do see, then we can guarantee. But if I were you, I would get them in by Thursday. That way you can be safe. Make sense?
Yeah, I can confirm Area 2, District 5 will be Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, that's what
I got. The Canute District. I can confirm that.
I got to thinking about that. I'm like, well, why would they play Thursday? Play Friday and Saturday. It's a four. Who cares? I mean,
even if it's a four team, you could play
Friday, Saturday.
Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, but then I thought, well, maybe Thursday if there's a ref to try to get
officials
available.
Yep.
All right, we'll be back. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal. We're always on the lookout for a healthy, homegrown, satisfying snack that we can eat on the go. Tucker Family Beef has just that snack with Made in Oklahoma Tucker Family Beef Sticks, now available in two flavors, regular or jalapeno and cheese. Tucker Family Beef still specializes raising prime beef that you can purchase in bulk with halves or wholes that come from all natural, no hormone added, high quality cattle. Check out their entire selection at TuckerFamilyBeef.com. Since 1917 at Tucker Family Beef, it's what they don't do that makes it great.
The Skinny on Sports.
We've come too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to keep our composure.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Hanging out here on a Wednesday. All right, so you did not get a chance to think about your top five Super Bowl teams
of all
time.
Well, I found the list and gives me an idea. I mean, there's going to be some obvious ones that you always go back and think about, which kind of came to my mind. So we can talk about it. Go for it.
Let's talk about the Big 12 football schedule.
Okay.
That way it gives you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A little unfair. And quite honestly, I didn't think about it a whole bunch either.
Did you see all the schedule reveal videos from the schools?
No.
I only saw a couple, and I'm hoping... And it made me think, okay, the Big 12 told him, hey, think about doing something like this. So I saw a couple. One were from Central Florida, and the other one, actually, I saw two from Central Florida. I think one was fan-made, one was made in-house, and the other one was made from BYU, and BYU is far ahead the winner. They used a schedule reveal as seen through episodes of Seinfeld.
Oh, sweet.
It was so funny. Like, when they're going to go to Orlando to Central Florida, they used a scene from one of the episodes where Kramer decides he's retiring and moving down next to Jerry's parents, and they're making for, like, you can't live down here. This is where people come to die. It was great. There's all these various scenes of Seinfeld. In Central Florida did one, and it was confusing. I couldn't get through it all, but it's pretty cool. I like those schedule reveals.
Yeah, it's very, you know, the new arms race in college football is almost some of that social media teams.
Absolutely it is.
Because a lot of, you know, one of the big conversations around college football right now is, you know, it used to be facilities, 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 build them, build them, build them. Now it's like, do I really want to build that or just give them money?
Well, yeah. And then
for the NIL.
Or if you have a strong social media presence, and, you know, Lincoln Riley saw this early when he was at OU, you have a strong social media presence, you can almost entice a kid to go, listen, we have this many followers on Twitter.
You can be the cool school.
We can tag you if you come commit to us. And you too can get, you could be an influencer on the football field or whatever it is.
It's true. It really worked. I mean, that's, you know, being here, that's something you noticed is year in and year out, signing classes or whatever it might be. Oklahoma was right there on the forefront, the cutting edge of a lot of that social media stuff.
To the point, sure. Wisconsin copied them this year, yeah, with their
from like four years ago,
like shot for shot, with, yep, the record store.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, there's no doubt that that's become a thing that I don't know that anybody saw coming a few years back. All right, just kind of glancing at the Big 12 schedule. First Big 12 game this season will be down in Fort Worth, UCF traveling to TCU. It'll be September 14th. So that's the first Big 12 game in the new iteration of the conference. 29th year of the Big 12. First one without Oklahoma and Texas, obviously. And there's some new schools coming in from the Pac-12. We were talking about it off the air, but Kansas, their six home games, two non-conference, four conference games. None of those will be played in Lawrence. David Booth Memorial Stadium. You know who David Booth is? Did you ever see that? No. You ever see the 30 for 30 where they were going back and forth, Kansas and Duke, over the Naismith original rules of basketball on the bid? It was the worst 30 for 30 of all time.
Then I didn't see it.
It was terrible. All it was basically guys sitting in a room doing an online auction, and whether or not David Booth, he was the KU guy, whether or not he was going to pay $3 or $4 million to keep the Naismith basketball rules in what they feel is their rightful home in Kansas.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah.
It was, anyway.
That sounds incredibly boring.
It really wasn't that great. For a series that's been phenomenal, it's down toward the bottom of those. But anyhow, I'm sure he's given a bunch of money for this, too, to renovate the stadium in Lawrence. It's not going to be ready. And I think they're actually kind of putting a district around it, too. Probably a mini P&L like they have in Kansas City to try to generate some buzz off, you know, just around the stadium, around the campus, or what have you. So there's going to be construction going. Cute. It's not going to happen. So KU's going to play non-con games at the MLS Stadium in Kansas City. Then their four conference games will all be in Arrowhead. So that's an interesting little side note to what is going on.
I'm not familiar with how far Lawrence is from Kansas City.
Not very.
It's not very far?
I don't think so.
Is it like Norman far from Oklahoma City, or is it like Stillwater to Oklahoma City? You're looking. You going to Google Map it? Like, I can see that working for
40 minutes.
40 minutes? Yeah, that's not going to be a problem. That's not going to be a problem. I just worry about, I know Kansas is playing really good last couple of years. Do they have enough fans to say, yeah, I'll commit to going that far to watch them play this season?
35 miles west of Kansas City.
Oh, that's nothing.
That's Kansas City, Kansas.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah, not very far.
They'll be fine.
Not very far.
It always seems to favor them in basketball season when the tournament's played there.
Wherever they play.
Where? No. If people are going to rip OU softball for playing in Oklahoma City, I can rip Kansas basketball, right?
I mean,
when
you can.
They play in this Sprint Center.
I mean, it doesn't matter where they play.
Same thing for OU softball.
Well, no, I'm not talking about winning. No, I'm about
whistles,
the advantages.
Or non.
That's why they go so crazy when it doesn't work out their way, like it did Hilton Magic in the middle of the, or toward the end of the first half the other day. Bill Self almost lost his toupee. He was so mad because the call didn't go right, and he got technical foul. Listen, you can't hit dudes in the head. It was a layup. The guy was trying to block a shot. I get it. I totally get why he would be upset if it was 2015. It's 2020. We all know if you hit a dude across the head, whether or not you're going for the ball or not, it's going to be a flagrant foul. We've already had this. We've already had the period of uproar about this. Yeah, it's a basketball play. Yeah, he was trying to block a shot, but he elbowed him in the head.
But Aaron,
it's going to be Kansas. But it's like it's like that rule was brand new news to Bill. Even though TCU lost a game in the fog earlier this year when a guy's back of his hand hit one of the Kansas guys in the face, completely inadvertent, by the way. Bill must have forgot that play. Anyway, so KU not playing any home games. I was looking at some stretches, and a couple of them caught my eye. One, Arizona, brand new addition into the Big 12. Their road games are really difficult. in my mind, at least for what I'm thinking these teams are going to be. Their road schedule is at K-State, Utah, BYU, Central Florida, and TCU. Man, that seems incredibly hard. Mm-hmm. If you could kind of start thinking about, okay, where would you not want to go in the new Big 12? I would put a couple of those right at the top of that list.
Maybe their first one, at Manhattan, Kansas State.
Kansas State, Utah, back-to-back. I don't know if the games are back-to-back, but their first two road trips.
There's a bye between them.
But still, I mean, those two.
Yeah, Utah will be tough. At least it's not geographically far for Arizona. BYU, same thing. Central Florida, that's a trip. We were talking about that yesterday. Who has the longest road trip in this new Big 12? Is it Arizona at Central Florida? Where's West Virginia going? Not too far. Well, West Virginia.
West Virginia, Arizona.
To Arizona.
That's got to be the winner.
That has to be it. Nah, yeah, it's tough, but you know, you're gonna have your light schedules, you're gonna have your tough schedules, and they got the tough draw.
That's the part about these huge conferences that almost kind of fool you at times, because I think there's a chance, well, there was a chance before Jed Fish left, that Arizona might have been the favorite in the Big 12.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't lost a ton of guys yet. They did lose Fish. But that schedule may put them a rung or two down the ladder, even though they're probably a more quality team than somebody else that got a break.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, you didn't lose a lot of personnel, but you lose the head coach. And there's always that marriage there of it could work because they both, you know, so losing the head coach, what changes are made? Have they named a successor? Surely they have. I just haven't been paying attention to Arizona football. My apologies. It makes you wonder what that'll look like. Because they seem to have they had a base there and a bright future. And that could be disrupted with the exiting of their head coach. I seem to remember they named
Brent Brennan.
Brent Brennan.
Mm-hmm.
No clue who that is. Is that in-house hire or?
No, San Jose.
San Jose State. Well, regionally.
Yeah.
Understands it.
I was thinking it was a little school, but yeah, San Jose State.
You know, the thing I noticed about this schedule, when you look at the composite schedule, I haven't sat here and counted it. It just feels like they're optioning a lot of games that could go be played on either Friday or Saturday. On not just like around Thanksgiving holiday, you know, like on those Black Fridays or that Black Friday, but just throughout the season. Is that in an attempt to get more exposure?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, TV. There's no doubt what that is.
Yeah.
No doubt in my mind.
Like for OSU, and that's one everyone's going to pay attention to. You know, the BYU game could be, I guess we're calling it flexed to Friday on the 19th of October. They've already said the Colorado game up in Boulder will be on Friday, the last game of the year. Am I reading that right?
That's a Black Friday, though.
That is Black Friday.
Yeah, everybody.
So that's two.
Everybody's got
something like that.
Yeah, Baylor doesn't.
I don't think Tech does.
Nope, Tech doesn't. Yeah, Tech and Baylor. It looks, if I'm just kind of scanning
there's
across
Saturday across the board. Yeah, I think you're right.
And Iowa State. Iowa State doesn't have that either. So,
but what does that tell us? Does that tell us when they want to put you in prime time? Obviously, Colorado for obvious reasons. I just said the word prime. But does that indicate how they think you like this could be a contender? We need all eyes on this team. I'm talking about OSU here. You get a big market like BYU. Let's face it. They have a big following. So they're at Provo. Let's put them on a Friday night.
I think that could very well be the case. And, you know, it's still an option. You know, it could be Saturday.
I mean, Arizona-Kansas State's one of those games early in the year.
Possibility of a Friday.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy that it's the possibility. Like, when are they going to decide? Is it going to be the two-week window?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think it could be very well after they announce it on that Sunday morning or late Saturday night.
They have to do it before
that. They have to for the days, for the fans, yeah.
For the teams.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're the coach of Arizona, you'd want to know before Sunday prior to, you know what I'm saying, or Kansas State. So I think it's probably that 2-week window.
Yeah, it has
so
to
like
be
the Sunday before, you know, like a week and a half or whatever. But still, yeah, it's fascinating. Utah. Some of them are even Thursday. Man. So Arizona's game.
Check this out. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Arizona's game the 16th at home against Houston. It could be Thursday, Friday, or Saturday.
4 Big 12 games on Black Friday.
Very interesting.
Utah at Central Florida. Obviously OSU, Colorado.
No, just two.
Oh, I'm just two.
I see what I you did. I did the same thing. When I first looked, I was like, yeah, there is a bunch. But it's both teams.
Dumb. I only had one cup of coffee this morning.
But
so
still, that's
my brain's working.
That's got it's TV related. There's no doubt. Now, another tough stretch. In you mentioned OSU, man. As one of the teams that's favored to kind of run this conference or be at the top of this conference moving forward, schedule makers didn't do them any breaks to start.
I mean, I thought they really screwed them because I got a bad schedule, and I thought that they put the Texas Tech game on the road.
Yeah, but the start is incredibly hard. I mean, your first two conference games are maybe the other two or three best teams in the league, hosting Utah at Kansas State. Then West Virginia at home, at BYU, at Baylor. Man, that's
rough.
It's pretty rough to start. And you're right. And then three of the last – so that's the start. And then you got three of the last four on the road. Or two of the last three, I'm sorry, on the road. With the Arizona State squished in between Baylor and TCU road games.
Well, they're familiar with Arizona State. And then, you know, at the beginning of the year, second game of the year, Arkansas. We don't – what Arkansas? You know,
yeah.
Last year's Arkansas or, what, 2 years, 3 years ago, Arkansas? You know, they're sticking with their coach with Pittman.
So here's an interesting –
it's almost a – he has to win this year mentality that Arkansas is going to have.
You know, we see that Arizona-Kansas State game. That's not a conference game.
Say that again.
That we saw Arizona at K-State. That's not a conference game. There's two games that aren't conference games. That one and BYU at Utah. Those were already scheduled non-cons.
Really?
Yes. And they continued. They kept them in there. Yeah, so Arizona at Kansas State on the 14th. My guess is it's a return. Wasn't Utah at BYU this year? Wasn't Utah at Baylor this year? The just completed season?
Yes.
So I think what they did was they kept those non-conference games in their schedules to allow the return trips. But those two games are not conference games.
I'm surprised we're not seeing a TCU at Colorado non-con game. They don't even play each other this year.
But they already played two.
They already played the two
TCU
games?
Went to Colorado the year before. The year they played for the title.
My
they went there early. Yeah,
my brain doesn't go back that far. Okay.
Yeah, so two, it says here in this article, two games featuring new conference opponents, and it's Baylor at Utah, Arizona at Kansas State, are non-con matchups because of the return.
Can I rip a couple of schools?
Okay.
You realize November 16th is open for both OU and OSU? We can't get this done, Bedlam Brothers. Come on. It's open.
Well, you can't have an extra game.
It's open. Then drop South Dakota State.
In Maine.
Put the stubbornness aside. This state needs Bedlam football. And there it is, right there, November 16th. And it's too late now, but it's like the SEC and the Big 12 said, hey, we're giving you this opportunity in this schedule. But now, come on, OSU and OU.
What I saw from OSU fans when this schedule was released yesterday, there was a whole bunch of, well, this is refreshing. Isn't the schedule refreshing, not seeing somebody on it? I think there's some time that needs to be apart. I really do. And maybe that time apart will let both fan bases realize that they actually need each other.
So you're saying we're on a break.
We're on a break. We're on a break. Yeah, there, and there's Jeremy on the text line. Hell no, that W from this year will live forever. But it's an, which is another,
that's funny,
another thing to consider, obviously, because even though the lopsided nature of the series history goes one way, forever scoreboard at the moment goes the other. So you've got that. I think it's interesting, the new Big 12. I can't wait to see. It almost felt at the end of the second iteration of the Big 12, parity had started to become more of a thing with, you know, Baylor, Oklahoma State playing 3 years ago or 2 years ago, Kansas State, TCU, then you had OSU and Texas. One, the school that dominated that Big 12 for those years wasn't there for the last three, at least in the championship game. So more parity had started to be infused into the league. It seems to me like going into this Big 12, parity reigns supreme. And is there a team that can take the mantle and take this, you know, just take the top spot on the totem pole, or is it going to be kind of an every year shift? Schedules will make a big deal about that, I think, depending on who gets a lucky break one time, who doesn't another time. It's just depending totally on the schedules. But I think that I think that you're, at least to start, I don't know, maybe it is Utah. Maybe it is Oklahoma State. But at least going in, I don't know if you can pinpoint one of the schools and say, okay, they're going to be the top dog. Now, who's going to knock them off?
Not now.
I don't think so either.
No. There's too many. There's good teams, but when we have contenders, I think there's too many questions attached to them. If you're going to label someone a contender, like Utah. We mentioned Utah. They last few years have been good in the Pac-12, and they get their quarterback back after a full year off. Is that good or bad? You know, OSU, they get, you know, their quarterback back, the Gordon back. And
they did, the difference in the transfer portal from a year ago to this year for OSU is night and day. They had one of the better transfer portal years of anybody as far as not losing guys.
Kansas, there's they get their.
And Daniels is back.
Daniels back, their quarterback back. But at what point do they just go, man? Yeah, we're Kansas.
maybe not playing
at home this year is bad for them. We're good. I don't know. There's questions.
There
What about Coach Prime at Colorado?
When can he take off?
Does year two elevate what year one? Are they better than year one?
He's trying to load up on the lines, which is clearly a problem as the season wore along. I think it's a fascinating league. Clearly the third best going into the season, clearly, which is a good thing. We'll be back.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
The Skinny on Sports.
Mock. Yeah. Ing. Yeah.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Thoughts on the text line about the new Big 12. I don't think we see a team dominate like OU did for most of the last 20 or 30 years. I agree with that going in for sure. I think it's going to take somebody to establish that because I think there's just too many teams that are pretty good.
Yeah, and, you know, the big reason why OU dominated, it was a top-heavy league back then. Not take a thing away from OU, but this is parity at its finest because there's a lot of really of good teams. And that's going to be it's hard to sustain when you have so much challengers. But and then it's a different world, too, with how conference realignment is what it's given us, the bigger conferences. I think we got bigger, more participants in a conference. It's harder to win. So it. But, yeah, this Big 12 is fun. Now I can't wait for the basketball schedule.
Whoa.
That has the Big 12 tournament next year could be like appointment watch TV like the Big East tournament was. Like every game is going to be fun. There's some good basketball in this conference.
Oh, there's no doubt. Well,
you would hope that OSU gets back.
There's competitive basketball. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not going to call it good after what we saw maybe in Manhattan with the offensive explosion.
Well, unfortunately, one team won't be a part of that tournament.
Oklahoma and Kansas State. But, you know, here's an interesting point on the text line. There's only one team that's won a national title in the new Big 12. I mean a real one. No offense to UCF for firing one out there a couple years ago that they claim. No offense to Oklahoma State for the 1945 one. No offense, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But Colorado, and Bill McCartney, that's the only one, right?
BYU 1980.
BYU. Yeah, that's right. BYU 1984.
Is it four?
1984. That's right. BYU. Correct.
80 was Clemson, right?
BYU. 81 was Clemson, right? God. 80, 81, 80.
I shouldn't know that. I was not even alive.
I used to know all this. 80 may have been Georgia?
Herschel? No, I got to. Georgia's 80.
Herschel.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Who was quarterback BYU? 84. Testaverde?
Testaverde played at Miami.
No, that's wrong. Who was that? Well,
Bosco? Donnie Bosco? Was that his name? Ronnie. BYU, Robbie. Robbie Bosco?
84. Quarterback.
Was it Robbie Bosco?
You're correct. Robbie Bosco.
You're probably trying to get it to be Steve Young.
Young was there.
Or Jim McMahon.
Yeah.
Or Ty Detmer. More famous names than Robbie Bosco.
Yeah, so Colorado BYU. But it's a long time ago. Feels like nobody's won one.
Colorado's what, 1990? 1990.
Who won it in 91? Was that
Washington and Miami split. Colorado and Georgia Tech split in 1990. The fifth down at Mizzou.
Yep.
They got revenge against Notre Dame because the year before Notre Dame had beat them or a couple years before. And then that was the Rocket Ishmael punt return touchdown. That got called back for a clip in the Orange Bowl that would have beat Colorado and taken their national title away.
Wasn't that the Hail Mary?
No, it was later. Hail Mary was later.
At Michigan?
Yeah, it was a couple years later with Cordell Stewart. Darian Hagan was quarterback for the title-winning team. Eric Bieniemy. People know him as a coach now. He was the running back for Colorado back then. He was actually really good. But, I mean, five downs. How do you not score from the one against Missouri with five with an extra down? How does that happen? Think about the uproar. Twitter would melt down. Social media would melt down if that happened in this day and age. First off,
how does a recovered onside kick get overturned?
Never found the ball.
When it's clear.
They never found who had it.
So clear.
The referees would refuse to look at Alan Patrick holding the ball up in their face. They closed their eyes.
And that was in the age of replay.
There actually was replay that still gave the ball to Oregon. That's
Unreal.
True.
Unreal.
It's hard to imagine. Last night, college basketball is weird. Listen, it's weird because it's watered down. It's weird because there's not really very many good teams.
Nah.
The portal is a big problem with – I mean, if you think the portal is creating parity in college football, take a look at college hoops and see what you get. Two top five teams go down last night with South Carolina. South Carolina is about to be ranked. Georgia Tech beat North Carolina. Did you see that final play for North Carolina?
No, I did not. I didn't.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of the officials closing their eyes, that guy from North Carolina just absolutely got body checked sideways, tried to get off a game-winning shot. Didn't happen. Oklahoma wins by 20 on the road. I think I'd seen it's their biggest road win in the Big 12 in like 5 years since they went down and smoked Texas one time. 73-53, it was not a masterpiece of offense for either side. Sooners shot 42%. Kansas State shot 30% for the game. Sooners were 24 of 39 from the free throw line, like 3 of 14 for 3. But who cares? It's a road Big 12 win. And it kind of evens them, right? They won at Cincinnati and Kansas State, lost at home to Tech and Texas. 9-9 in this league, and you will be a top whatever seed in the tournament. It was funny because listening yesterday, I started thinking to myself, boy, howdy, 3-4, you lose tonight on the road, 3-5, lose again on the road to UCF, 3-6. At what point do you start wondering about Oklahoma's nosedive out of the tournament? Is 7-11 good enough in this league? Probably with their record. Probably, because that would put them at 19-12 with the wins. You know, probably depend on who they beat and who they lost to. But even in the record at 4-4, now you get a little bit, kind of take a breath. And, man, if you can go down to UCF and win, then all of a sudden maybe put together a couple wins in a row to really give yourself a chance with home games against BYU and Oklahoma State coming up next week.
Yeah, Central Florida won't be –
Central Florida's beat some good teams already.
In there. So that won't be easy. If they can steal that one, host a ranked BYU team, host Oklahoma State, it could get maybe a little bit on a roll.
Yeah, if you win 4 in a row, you go from 3-4 to 7-4.
Oh, yeah.
That'll put you in the top 4 or 5 of the league at that point.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because there's 6-2 Houston out on top, then 5-2s with Iowa State and Texas Tech, Kansas and TCU 5-3, and then the Sooners and K-State 4-4. Yeah, you put 3 wins in a row and let everybody else beat each other up, you know, you're in a spot at that point where, barring just an absolute and utter collapse, you're in the NCAA tournament. Then you start to maybe think about improving seeding instead of just making sure you don't fall out.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma State bombed by Kansas. They were never really in the game. Cowboys coming off their first win against West Virginia, unable to back that up against Kansas. No surprise there. As you go to Fog Allen Fieldhouse, you better be 5 to 10 points better than Kansas to win the game, and this Oklahoma State team clearly not in the cellar, in the basement, in the Big 12 Conference at 1-7, 9-12 overall. Pokes now host Kansas State, and then they go back-to-back next week on the road at Houston and at Oklahoma. So – It's like you look at these schedules, you think, man, that's a tough – golly, that team's got a tough 3 games. And you can find it everywhere. Like every team's schedule, you go, oh, yeah, theirs is just as hard. Oh, yeah, theirs is just as hard with the difficulty of this Big 12.
Yeah, I'm efforting. There's a young man who went down last night for Oklahoma State. Did you see that?
No.
Shoulder injury, never came back. Maybe the text line could help us out. I mean, it could really hurt their already bad season in Stillwater. It's probably, I know we're way over, but I cannot remember a team this low in Stillwater.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. There's been some average teams that have figured out ways to win. There's been some really good teams, obviously. But this team, though, I just just thinking about this morning, like, I cannot remember seeing a team this bad. And that's not good. That's not good for Boynton and not good for OSU basketball as a whole. And hopefully they can make some changes and get it back to where it needs to be.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can make the argument that losing Oklahoma and Texas, gaining the four that you're gaining, Arizona obviously being one of those, might make this league harder.
Oh, yeah. It's not going to get easier. Yeah, it's...
it's sad,
to
be honest
with you. It's sad, and that college basketball, not just
college basketball is sad.
It is sad, but what I was going to say, when Gallagher-Iba is rocking and OSU's producing a top 10 team, just give me a top 10 team, that is fun. That's
hell, at this point, just give a tournament team.
Yeah.
We don't need don't even need to be ranked.
I just don't know how it's gotten to this point. We can overanalyze that later. Sad is the only word that comes to mind.
Yeah, it really is. Because you're right, that place, it gets rocking unlike almost anywhere else in the country. It's right up there with everything when it's rolling. All right, everybody have a great Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow right here on The Skinny on Sports.
You've been listening to The Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way back, goodbye.
Tuesday, February 13th is the school investment election. The plan provides local students and the Canute community with a renovated gymnasium, including new flooring, new stands, new scoreboard, updated restrooms, accessibility improvements, and more. The plan also includes upgrades to the school's science lab to promote more hands-on learning and experiments. Polls will be open from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. Please take time to vote on this important election, because your voice and your vote matter.